Hi, everyone. It's Kathleen Lewarczyk from XEngage. Welcome back to B2B Bits and Bytes, practical advice and tips on leading with B2B e-commerce for digital commerce success. In addition, we also enjoy talking about international food and sips, the other bits and bytes. On episode 14 of season 3 today, we're continuing our overview of e-commerce 2.0, or learning how to accelerate your B2B digital channel. And today, we're talking about delivery or execution, which is essential to success. I'm your moderator, and I have an excellent XEngage subject matter expert today. Welcome, Scott Miracle, our VP of Commerce Solutions.
Thanks, Kathleen. I appreciate you having me. I'm excited to be part of these podcasts, and I'll try not to let DJing become a second career.
Oh, all right. I like the spirit of enthusiasm. Wait, what a great start. Well, let's talk about your role that you have at XEngage and why it is a critical, important success factor as part of implementation of digital commerce services. So just so you know, we've talked strategy and design, particularly UX, but it's your discipline that gets a client over the goal line. Can you share first a little bit about your role in the team and what you do at XEngage?
Of course. Well, at a high level, my primary role is to ensure that delivery of commerce projects here at XEngage are successful. That incorporates a number of different areas, which we'll probably get into shortly during our conversation. But the goal ultimately is to ensure that we're functionally flawless and pixel perfect on every site implementation we do.
Wow, functionally flawless and pixel perfect. That's a tall order, but if it can be achieved, that's amazing. So what does delivery and execution success mean at XEngage?
At XEngage, we strive to make raving fans. We do that by understanding our client's business from a buyer and seller perspective up front. And of course, it also means ensuring sites are, as I said earlier, functionally flawless and pixel perfect. So making sure our implementation meets the needs of our clients as well as setting them up for success.
So I'm happy to report that, you know, doing a little promotion here, XEngage does have really happy clients. And I just want to say thank you, Scott, for all the work that you've done, because that is what helps us to be more successful ourselves. But we feel successful when our clients are successful.
Thank you.
So now that you're, you know, in this role of both implementation, but really truly a technical expert, your view of e-commerce 2.0 is slightly different, and that's a good thing. Could you give our business and technical listeners, so we have listeners from CIOs to CMOs to, quite honestly, the whole suite of C's, as well as folks who are practical practitioners of e-commerce, tell us your perspective on what e-commerce 2.0 is.
Well, I guess just to go back, first-generation web stores were originally built with a single focus, to allow customers to place online orders.
Right.
And that was it. As groundbreaking and as innovative as that was initially, B2B commerce businesses and their customers realized that that's just basically just the cost of entry at some point, and it needed to be taken to the next level. So it started off by adding self-service capabilities, pull some of those customer service rep things into self-service. However, the customer experience and customer centricity really needed to go up a notch as well. So you can view it through a lens of a buyer and seller experience. I think most people focus on the buyer experience, how you're interacting with the site as a buyer. But in a design conversation with one of our clients, EIS, they actually described that they wanted a site to be a 24/7 digital sales representative. I thought that was a great way to look at it. It gets to the root of the e-commerce 2.0 piece and moving into digital maturity, being able to be more predictive and immersive with the customer and to meet their needs.
That's great. And I'm also glad that you talked for a moment about the buyer or seller experiences, because at XEngage, we tend to focus, and we've talked on our podcast previously about the importance of designing both for buyers and sellers. You know, we can execute extremely well, but if we're not servicing both audiences, we might lose opportunities for adoption or people to come along the journey with us. So thanks for mentioning that.
Yep.
So in season one, we talked at a high level about the XEngage process. And if you go back to our podcast and you want to hear it, by the way, today you're listening to B2B Bits and Bytes. If you hear those original first seasons, we talk about the framework. But could you go a little deeper on these steps in the XEngage process and how In delivery, you managed to delicately balance both structure and flexibility as you move through that process.
Sure. Our methodology involves a discovery, a design, a build, deliver, so launch, and then iterate on what we've already done. But everyone has a project methodology and a different project management tool set that they claim is the best. Our process is what I call quasi-agile, and that's probably not a real word, but we want to make sure that we do the due diligence up front and architect the solution properly. But as we run through the actual build phase, we do it in agile two-week sprints to optimize some of the things we can get off of agile. So you do have to make sure your process is not too rigid. It needs to be flexible for various circumstances, as well as learning from past experiences. I think that's a really important piece. This gives us a strong foundation for the commerce delivery, no matter what curveballs come up. We also don't want to be the Wild West and shooting from the hip, but it is sometimes good to have a few cowboys or cowgirls that can jump in and troubleshoot effectively, though.
Agree. And, you know, I think it's actually a great term, quasi-agile, because you have the flexibility that you need to, you know, do what's needed in the moment, but you actually have a framework that people can genuinely follow. And, yeah, sometimes you need that cowboys and cowgirls to get the job done.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where something might not be working as expected, and those experts can come in and figure it out for you.
And that's great. And that's one of the things I think we really pride ourselves on, is being able to, you know, have such a deep understanding of not only the technical, but also B2B, because we work predominantly in B2B. And that allows us to impart some knowledge with our clients, whatever their processing systems are, if they have, you know, unique needs to their B2B business. We're actually able to understand the environment in which we design. So also good to have that on the table as well. So speaking of on the table and delicate balances, we're going to flip to food here for a minute. So some food pairings achieve that delicate balance, and we all know and have been there before when some do not. Can you think of a food pairing of two opposites that worked, and maybe another that really did not?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I know my daughter really likes mac and cheese and chicken nuggets together at every dinner, but that's not exactly fine dining, nor is it very green. It's pretty blah looking.
But you know, that fits probably both. It works and it doesn't, because it works because she's eating.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not something we would want to have every night for dinner.
Yep.
I could think of a very similar example of one that shouldn't work. And maybe for some people, it's not their favorite, but I actually found it to be really interesting. So in the drink category, I was at a conference one time and someone asked me if I ever had tried a pickleback. And I said, I have no idea what that is. And so what that is basically is having a starter drink, some sort of whiskey, and then following it with a shot of pickle brine, which we all know how sour that is, but it tends to cut the strength of the whiskey. And I don't necessarily mean the alcohol strength, but just like how it feels within your system. And it actually is a lovely combination. And I just wasn't prepared for it.
Sounds interesting.
It is. I think it's worth a try. Listener, if you're out there and want to try something new, pickleback. Okay, back to our digital bits and bytes. What we love about the role of the people at our team that have the delivery or execution part of their role is a passion for quality-centric iterative testing and making sure it comes together well. Can you give us an idea of what that means and why it's essential to our practice?
Well, I want to back up a little bit more and maybe spend a moment discussing continuous integration and continuous improvement first.
Sure. So
they're kind of related. You've probably heard about it. Continuous integration and DevOps are kind of buzzwords that are thrown out quite a bit. At Xngage, DevOps and continuous integration are the combination of tools, culture, process, anything that increases our ability to get feedback quickly back to the developer and improve our ability to deliver sites. It's not just a matter of the latest tools and technologies, while those are really helpful usually. You have to be effectively integrating them into your culture as well. built-in checks that happen automatically are an important component of effective delivery execution and part of continuous integration to get that feedback quickly. It allows us to get that information to developers if there's any potential problems with the code. It also has to be built into the process. It's kind of useless to have highlighted concerns if they're not acted upon and learned from, which is where the culture and process kind of come together.
Sure.
Now, back to your original question about the importance of quality. You can plug in automated testing within your continuous integration and automation tooling, but it needs to go a little further than that. There needs to be the culture of quality from the developers. If they don't have it, then and along with a quality-centric approach to development, you're going to have problems. We also want to iteratively test and do functional validation as development's completed too. If we were to wait till the end of the project, like some people have, especially in the past, and wait till the end to test the functionality and code, you'd likely have some major issues when developer functionality doesn't fit together well. So, for example, if one developer did the add to cart, and one did the actual cart, and one did the product information, if there's no testing of those components fitting together as they were developed by the developers or QA as it was implemented, you do all your work and then get to QA and find that the add to cart doesn't work, and you fix that big major bug, and then you find out, well, in the cart, it's not showing right, and you fix that major bug, and it becomes a pretty big onion to peel off if you hadn't already done it.
Wow, so that's a lot. That is a very holistic view of it, and I bet you find that doesn't just happen. And up to and including new e-commerce integrations launches. So when we at Xngage talk about ensuring client success, you've given us great examples of what happens through that process as we're developing and getting ready for launch, but what does that mean post-launch?
Well, I also want to mention too that I think it's also important that we mentioned you need to breed the culture of continuous improvement too.
Yes, agree.
If we want to make each site better than the next, both in terms of creating different new innovative features as well as site speed and quality, the code we do today influences the code we do tomorrow, and we need to incorporate those lessons learned from yesterday and today.
Agree.
But to get back to your question about the integrations, right?
Mm-hmm. And ensuring client success both during launch and in particular post-launch.
Yeah. I believe a couple podcasts ago we heard from Guest Supplies Experience that our customers need to be empowered and set up for success. As part of our delivery, our product owners, sometimes called BAs, our product owners provide training on the tools, CMS, as well as standing time through the last segment of the project just to be available for office hours or just to be there to have questions and prepare the client for the launch ahead. If that means jumping on and helping them with the tool or actually doing content creation or being there for a sounding board, our product owners do that. And that really helps them set themselves up for success and really be empowered to do so. We also need to maintain the site over time. So keeping the mindset of operating effectively as possible for the longer term, not just a singular launch event. We never have the attitude of one and done. So we pride ourselves on how our clients continue with support contracts after our initial launches.
Mm-hmm.
We maintain our clients. And we also provide a runbook. That's just a document that we build out that outlines the jobs, the settings, the runtime information for the site. And that's to empower the IT or marketing teams to really take ownership. That's a key piece in taking the ownership once we launch it. Of course, we're there to continue in support and innovation mode, but it's still important for everyone to understand the solution. Just an example, I think Van Meter is a pretty good one. This ongoing collaboration where we continue to build innovative differentiators for them, but they're still fully engaged from a content and operational aspect.
So, Scott, you have said so much in just this sort of space around post-launch, but some things that pop to mind that I don't think people think about when they're talking or planning for delivery and execution. And a couple that pop to mind include making sure the ownership is where it needs to be, because it's not a one and done. There's a client engagement for that launch, but at some point it does go over to the client and you step back as someone who's expert and available, but knowing that ultimately in many cases it resides with that owner, but you're there in many ways to make sure that ongoing process and the process of continuous improvement is available for a client wherever he or she is in order to make sure their ongoing success is supported. So that's really cool.
Exactly. I've seen other projects, not with Xngage, of course, but other companies that actually launch the site and just say here, and that just doesn't set it up for success in the long term.
It doesn't, and I like this idea of the run book so that you have a place, you know, wherever the relationship and or the technology moves you into your next phase, you have a place to go back to that you can use as a resource, including people.
Yep, exactly.
Super cool. So one reason our listeners tune into Xngage B2B Bits and Bytes, this podcast you're listening to, is to learn things like you've just described and the kind of relationships that are important to build with partners. But they also want to learn how to avoid certain pitfalls. Can you offer some examples and tips on avoiding delivery or execution pitfalls?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kathleen. We've probably all seen that kind of thing happen over time.
And, oh, yes.
we talked earlier about continuous improvement, learning from our mistakes. That's a great way to prevent that, but I have seen a number of issues pop up in my 20 years of e-commerce implementations. And one of the biggest pitfalls is probably making sure that you have buy-in from everyone, including sales reps, all the way to content authors and leadership, particularly if you're early on in the journey. You don't want to get a site live and realize that the sales reps are actively telling customers to call them instead and not use the site.
Oh, no.
I've actually seen that, and that's from not taking the time to update your processes and make sure that they get commissions and stuff like that. But obviously there's more to it than that, but just making sure you have buy-in from everyone is probably one of the first ones. Secondly, making sure that you transform the processes along with the website. So keeping them both of them in lockstep. Shiny objects attract everyone, but if you don't have the organizational maturity to support it, I think you're going to have problems. So for an example, you change you have a website that obviously you can take orders on. If you don't change some of the processes around that ordering, particularly maybe the ERP has some funky stuff going on, you're going to run into problems. And I think the last one I want to highlight too is just the importance of ensuring solid integrations. We talked earlier about quality, but the integrations, the ERP, PIM, CRM, and really any third parties can easily make or break your customer's experience for you. If they're getting error messages or anything like that, it's a major problem and they're likely to leave your site. You should always expect the unexpected when you're developing these integrations and test every possible scenario. I think the system integration testing is probably the key piece there.
Great advice. I think, we see examples where people come and request of us to do some integrations or to launch new transactional website opportunities for them. And they haven't done things like evaluated the strength of their ERP or have thought about their product data. And it's all an ecosystem and it has to be continually reviewed as such, right? So we talked about being successful in the launch and being successful post-launch. I'm sure sometimes there are moments where you look at yourself as a client and say, gosh, maybe it's time now for me to start thinking about a product information management system, because I'm really trying to deliver on those experiences that my end user customers expect of me. And it's an ongoing evolutionary discussion with a partner like Xngage.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. If you don't have the content on there, that the customer can figure out what product they want to even get, it's definitely going to be a problem. We've seen plenty of our clients just try to pull the description out of, say, SAP, and you put it on the website, and it turns out it's just a couple words, and you can't even differentiate between that and another product, and that's just not going to fly.
No, and that's an actual great lead into the next episode we're going to have, which is around marketing, because if it's not delivered and executed with excellence, by the time you get ready to promote it, you're not really on the full systems journey, are you? So right. Really important. Well, Scott, thank you very much for being on our podcast today. I'm going to do a quick summary, and if you feel I've missed anything, by all means, please add to it. So Scott began by telling us his definition of e-commerce 2.0, which is the whole theme of season 3. E-commerce 2.0, according to Scott, is about delivering those better customer experience, more customer-centric deliverables, which really help people in a variety of ways. It might pull them through the website or e-commerce system quicker, or it might allow them to experience things that they previously haven't from your business. What I really enjoyed was hearing more about the importance of process in managing a launch, and even more so a post-launch, being a quasi-agile, love that term, where that's both structured and flexible to meet the needs of an ongoing project, and using the role of continuous integration and improvement as your firepower to, on the go, make those changes, by all means sticking to what you've agreed to in a scope of work. At the end of the day, right, it's always about the deliverables, but it's always about meeting business objectives and providing business impact. That's what we talk about on this show. We feel very strongly about it. And I think you just corroborated it here today, Scott.
Yep. And just to add to that,
please.
I think setting people up for success when we launch is part of making that business impact too.
Absolutely agree. And that's awesome, because the other thing you touched on is sort of the culture of what you want when you finish the project, so that people feel, yeah, they can ask questions. We're an iterative organization. We want to be there to meet you where your need is, but we want also to make sure you're bought in throughout the entire process. So when that point comes, you're ready.
Yep.
So we also learned it's important to try new things, so like mac and cheese and nuggets and picklebacks. So we hope that you enjoyed your time with us today on episode 14 of our third season of e-commerce 2.0 B2B Bits and Bytes. We covered the critically important delivery execution in depth today, thanks to Scott. Please join us next time when we talk about our last topic, which is digital marketing. As always, if you have questions before that, contact us sooner at www.xngage.com. That's www.xngage.com. On behalf of Xngage, Scott and I are signing off.